Mishnah on Ayin Ches on the base.
Look, the Heidegger Mishnah.
Yiskavin laharoget ha-behimah, viharaget ha-adam, lovet kochavim v'haraget Yisrael, v'nafalim v'haraget ben kayama, patur. So someone who ends up murdering, but he doesn't murder the or kill what or whom it was that he had intended to, so he was intending to shoot an animal, and instead his shot went wild and he killed a man. Lo'ovet kofavim, he was intending to kill a goyim, which is Ofi of Nisa, and he ends up killing a Yisrael. He was going to kill a Nefel, it was not a Bar Kayoma, so this was a miscarried infant. V'haraget ben kayom, instead he kills a ben kayom. In all such cases, he would be patur. And we'll see where we learn all these various dinim out as we go through in the Gemara. Miskaven la'akotua motzunav, lo haya bakoach kidei la'amito amotzunav, but holcha la'alibo v'haya bakoach kidei la'amito alibo made patur. Now suppose he hits the person that he had intended to hit, but had he hit him where he had aimed for, so say he had aimed for his thighs, let's say, and instead he hits him through the heart. And so in that case, had he hit him the way he had intended, he wouldn't have killed him. But the shot went through his heart, so then he dies, he would be patur. Nitkaven la'akoto alibo. Suppose he wanted to shoot him through the heart. Vayaba g'dei la'amit alibo, and indeed he would have killed him in that case. And instead, the halchala al motnav. Instead, it hits him somewhere that it should not have been fatal. There was no way that we would have estimated that a shot like that would have taken somebody out, but nonetheless, man ends up dying. Even in this case, it would be patur because there was no what it was that happened. There was no attack that resulted in death. In other words, the death is viewed as being coincidental, but not the something that he had done. How about in a case where it kaven la kotet hagadol? V'lo haya ba kedei lahamit hagadol, v'alchala ala katan, v'haya ba kedei lahamit et hakatan. Right? Patur. Suppose he wanted to shoot. Actually, shooting here is a less reasonable case, but he had wanted to hit a grown man, and it wouldn't have affected the grown man to such an extent. It would have knocked him out. It wouldn't have killed him. And instead, he hits a child. And in the case of the child, it did kill the child, and he died. Here too, he would be potter. Yitkaven lakot et hakatan v'ayaba kedei lahamit et hakatan v'alchala hagadol v'lo ayaba kedei lahamit et hakadol umeit patur. But the inverse is also true, that if his intent had been to hit a child in a way that would have killed that child, and then the adult interferes, and he gets, he takes now the blow to his jaw, and all it should have done was knock him out, and instead it kills him. In this case also it would be potter because the blow was not a blow that would kill him. We learned that from the pasuk, as we saw yesterday, that it has to be even yad, has to be yeshbo kedei lahamit. Aval nitkaven lakot al motnav yada kedei lahamit al motnav v'chala libo mate chayav. In a case where what he had intended wasn't done, but nonetheless what he had intended would have killed him. So he was going to shoot him in a way that would have killed him had he shot him through the back. It ends up, he gets him straight to the heart. What's the difference? In that case, he would be chayav. And if he had intended to kill the adult with the blow, and it could have, and instead, al-chal al-katan v'meit, also he would be chayav. Was Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu nitkaven la'arog et zeh, v'arag et zeh patur. As we'll see, he brings a raya from the Torah, that if somebody had a kavana to kill individual A, and instead kills individual B, he would be patur. And therefore, all of the cases that we had in the Mishnah that needed first to put in an additional condition that the person that he intended to kill either was a goy or was someone that was an animal, or the blow originally intended was a blow of a different type, and wouldn't have killed, none of those conditions really are relevant, because according to what Rabbi Shimon says, even if he fully intended to kill individual A, and the shot that he was going to do to individual A would have killed individual A too, the fact that it killed somebody else means that he's potter. And as I said, this we'll see, he has a chiddush akra. There's a pasuk specifically that tells us this. So it's more Rabbi Shimon's language in the end of the Mishnah is a little bit confusing, because He could have just said patur, couldn't he? I mean, we said, v'alkala katsanu mitzayat. That was the case in Nitzkabin la'rogetzeh v'ragetzeh. And what's the difference whether one was a kot, one was a gadol? In terms of the fear of mitzvah, makes absolutely no difference who the victim is. And so, Rabbi Shimon, by throwing in this whole line, afilu nitkaven la'rogetzeh v'ragetzeh patur, what was he referring to? Ahed. What case in the Mishnah was referring back to? Ilema Asefa, this is Rabbi Shimon's response to the closing case of the Mishnah. Why don't you just say Rabbi Shimon Poter? I mean, that's all you got to say. Because we already had talked about a case where it was Niskavin La Rogezev or Agazev. The case was, I mean, of course, Niskavin La Kotzakadol Vikatakatan. But what's the difference? It boils down to the same thing. So you see, according to the Tanakam, Niskavin La Rogezev or Agazev is Chayev, so it should simply say Rabbi Shimon Omer Poter. Why do you need for him to reiterate that a Niskavin La Rogezev or Agazev is Poter? Therefore, we have no choice but to conclude that Rabbi Shimon is careful here to make it himself clear that he's referring to the beginning of the Mishnah. So, Ela Aresha, what he's referring to is the Diak and the Resha, where the Resha said, Nitkaven la rogata veima, v'aragata adam, lo vit kochavim v'aragat Yisrael, v'nefalim v'aragat ben kayama patur. In all of these cases, there was a reason why the original intent would have been potter, either because it's a mefel, or because it's a dovikachovim, or because it's a behema. Says Rabbi Shimon, meaning what? That your diak is hanitkaven la rogezev aragezev chayav. In other words, by implication, if you were going to be horeg a person, then it doesn't matter if your kavana wasn't carried out; you'd still be chayav. On that, says Rabbi Shimon, afil nitkaven la rogezev aragezev. He has to speak out the case because the Tanakam never said the case. So he now is saying, by implication, you were saying the nitkaven la rogezev aragezev is chayav. No, and nitkaven la rogezev aragezev is patur. Because had he just said the word patur, he would have been referring to the Mishnah as stated. What's the difference? The difference is that as stated, we'd have no way of knowing how to limit that patur. Because what Rabbi Shimon might have meant then was that in all cases where the intent was other than what had been carried out, he would be patur. Even if there were other elements. I misaimed, it hit him in the wrong place, and so on. But Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on any of those other cases. He's only arguing on the case specifically of Nitkaven La Rogezeh La Rogezeh. Now, how far does he carry this halacha? There's a number of different ways of viewing it. Let me give you the case, says the Gemara, and then we'll see what you would say about Rabbi Shimon Shita in that particular case. Now, let's talk about a case where, and this is obvious to me, Pshita, Koi Ruvein V'Shimon. Now, Ruvein V'Shimon is standing there, and the guy is saying, Ana la Ruven kamechavna, la Shimon lo kamechavna. I'd never want to kill Shimon, a good friend of mine. It's only Ruven that has to be taken out over here. And then he ends up killing Shimon. Guy's really a lousy shot. So then in that case, okay, that's clearly the case that we're arguing in. Ana Puktai, it was never macabre. Obviously we have a Hasra problem here, right? In all of these cases. In other words, we have to be master in a general sense. Don't kill. So we're saying, yeah, because otherwise, I mean, it would be a hatzrat safek. I mean, you're going to kill this guy. You're not going to mess. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon is saying that, you know, the Rabbanan is saying, that makes no difference. Give him a general, don't pull that trigger. You're going to kill somebody. You're going to be chayav misi. He says, I understand that. I accept that, and so on. And over here, he speaks out. Well, I want to kill Shimon. I'd rather Reuven. He ends up killing Shimon. Well, Hanuf Lutem, that's the case. There's no question that there, Rabbi Shimon is going to tell me that it's potter. That's what the main case of the Mishnah was. But suppose the guy says, I'll kill either of them, I don't care. So he says specifically, l'chad minayim. Now, if that means that he doesn't have a specific kavanah. I don't care which one I kill. One of them's got to be killed. So what's the din over there? Is this, according to Rabbi Shimon, is the problem that I was machaving to somebody else? Or is the problem that I wasn't mechavin specifically for him? Because as we'll see, the diak of Rabbi Shimon from the Pasuk is v'aravlo. That means you have to lie in waiting for him, which clearly is not meant literally have to lie in waiting for him. But what the Torah is coming to tell us is that intent when it comes to murder is very specific. V'aravlo. So if that's the case, maybe it doesn't just exclude a case that we just had where I specifically intended to kill somebody else. Maybe it even includes a lack of specific intent, period. And then even if he says, I'm ready to kill either of them, what would be the din? Or how about a different case where also there's an element of kavanah? Because if arav lo, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have identified my victim and his name is this? Or does it mean I had intent to shoot that body? And I did. Unfortunately, it was the wrong guy. In other words, I thought that that was Reuven, but it turned out to be Shimon. Now, I had intent for what I did. The intent was for this particular act of murder. When the Torah says Varav Lo, what does it mean? Varav Lo in terms of his identity or Varav Lo for whatever the victim was? So that's the other question. Inami, Kasavar Reuven v'nimtza Shimon. How about if the person that was murdered was precisely the body I wanted to murder, but it's the wrong body? What happens then? Tashma, the Tani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad sheyomar l'ploni ani mechaven. Indeed, Rabbi Shimon says, b'feirush, he has to say, my intent is to kill so-and-so. So in other words, if he said one or the other, that's not saying I want to kill so-and-so. If he points out a body that he identifies in so-and-so and isn't so-and-so, it's a ploni. That body isn't ploni. That's anti-ploni. And therefore, in either of those cases, Rabbi Shimon would not have been mechayev because that is not his intent. My time at the Rabbi Shimon, where does he get this from? Markra, the arav lo, the kam alav. Then why? What do we need that business about the arav lo? All you have to say is ki yeh ison el reyehu the kam alav. To contrast it to the case of shogeg that we've been talking about, the gavi yer miklat. If you tell me v'arav lo, you're clearly coming to have something. You're certainly not saying the only time I'm chayev is if I lay an ambush for someone. So what does ambush add? Ambush adds the fact that I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my victim, I'm planning my victim, and I'm getting my victim. Therefore, the Rabbi Shimon, it's clear that the Torah's intent over here in providing a chiyuv misa for murder is not just for a murder, but rather it's for a murder that is done with this type of premeditation. So the meditation element is not, as it is in civil law, a meditation to murder. It's a meditation to do this murder. V'arav lo. So actually, it's kavein lo. Now that seems to be a pretty strong deal. And the pasuk is making a point over here. What does the Rabbanan do with that? The Rabbanan here say it doesn't matter. The only time it would matter is if my original victim would never have been mechayev me. So then what I did was not something that was a chiyuv. But why do they read, how do they read the arav lo? I'm going to say Rabbi Anai. They say that arav lo indeed does mean that there needs to be premeditation, and it does need to identify someone. But it's talking about a very special case. The case is somebody throws a stone out of his window into a group of people.
To kill.
To kill. So, what's the finish? I mean, what's the case? I mean, if you're talking about Elena Dika Tisha Kutim, the Echad Yisrael Beinehim, you're talking about you have a group of people that you wouldn't have been Mechayev Misa for because they were Rov Goyim. You have a Jew between them, it kills the Jew. Fine, then, typically, the Ruba Kutim. I mean, the reason over there that he would be Potter is because it would come to be Mechayev and he would say, look, going bust of the Rov. I mean, this was the case in which Nitkaven laharoget kutiva haraget Yisrael. I was intending that it should go according to the rules. So we certainly have a vihitzilu aeda. There's a reason to save the guy. I don't need a pasuk for that. And if the case is that we have inami palga to palga, even let's say we would have had five goyim and five Jews. Fine, okay, so can you be machayev the guy? Can you prove that over here he aimed for and killed? No, it's a Sofik Nefashos. The din is v'yitzilu ha'ida. Sofik Nefashot la'kel. The Bezdin will not be able to absolutely make it clear that this guy's chayv misa, so we'll have to save him. Therefore, the old...
Yeah. What happens if it's a case of a guy who says that everybody who works in my office, I hate them all, I'm going to kill him, comes in with a machine gun, mm-hmm. mows them down? Not so far from possible.
No, not
unfortunately. I mean, he wants to kill a whole group. I mean... Does that mean that...
No, that's not it. No, that's not the case. I mean, he wants to kill one member at random. He's killing a member at random.
Or he wants to kill all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if he wouldn't want to kill all of them, then it's kabbalah for the Jew.
No, here he's only... Let's say they're all Jews.
Oh, in a case where they're all Jews.
Well, that's
so,
another case.
You're asking according to Rabbi Shimon or according to Rabbi
Shimon? Yeah, according to Rabbi Shimon.
Oh, I mean, my goodness, you're popping all over today. All right, so you're going back to the previous sugya.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah, but that was our case, where the guy said, v'chad minayu.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying over here, the dap, he won't stop until he gets every single one of them. Uh-huh. So then this guy is for each one.
Uh-huh.
Each one in such a case. But anyway, getting back to this case.
I don't understand the whole sugya. How come he is going to do an action?
Right.
For his action, he is responsible. How
no, 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 that's not true. The point over here that Rabbi Shimon is saying is that this is not similar to Nezikin, where you're responsible for your action. When it comes to murder, you're responsible for the carrying out of a premeditated act. And we know, of course, that the dinim of Nefashis and Mises is very different from the dinim of Nezikin. In other words, if I do something, Bein B'shogeg, Bein B'mezit, Bein B'ones, Adam Mu'ad La'olam, if I kill somebody in my sleep who's sleeping next to me, and I turn over and I just, like, I always carry a knife in my arm because, you know, you never know who's going to walk into the room, and I end up stabbing the guy, you know, if I cut his pajamas, I'm going to pay for them. If I send him to the hospital, I'm going to pay for his repair work. But if I kill him, I'm going to be potter. So it's not the same at all, right? So over here the question is, what extent of premeditation is the Torah Mechayev?
It's the thought that counts.
Is it similar to a machshava?
Yeah, machshava.
No, but as a matter of fact, I was careful not to bring that as an example because I didn't want anybody jumping to that conclusion. No, because over there it's a definition of the nature of the act. And over here it's a definition of the nature of the murder. So it's really a very different idea. It boils down to, in effect, very similar effects, but it's defining things in a different way. So, now, the question is, we're in the middle of trying to figure out what the Rabbanan do with this pasuk. Now, we said it's talking about a specific case where you throw a stone out of a window, it falls into a group of people. We're trying to figure out why we would need a pasuk for that. If you've got a rove of Yisrael, so then he's going to be chayav. If you've got a rove of Akuti, he's going to be potter. If you've got a mechta, also he'd be potter, because something in Pashot Lakel. So then, for God's sake, why do you need a pasuk to tell me something whose dinim are already well-defined? Huh? Says the Gemara, incredibly, this comes to teach us a halacha that utterly changes our appreciation of the concept of rov all over the world. And what it comes to tell us is that the case is talking about, indeed, lo tzricha de'ika tisha Yisrael v'kuti echad b'nehim. It's talking, indeed, about a case where you have 9 Jews and 1 kuti, or 100 Jews and 1 kuti. The chiddush of the pasuk is that nonetheless you're potter. And therefore, it must cast a completely different light on what we view as rov. Because what it's telling us is that something that is kavua is not statistically defined. Which now has to do with everything in the world. For instance, suppose I find a piece of meat in town. And there are 5 kosher butcher stores and there are 6 non-kosher butcher stores. Then I assume that statistically this piece of meat, in having come from one of those stores, is, in the case of its rove, is whatever the rove is. But suppose I am a newcomer to town. I think that everything has the Badatz Hechsher. Little do I realize that one of the stores in town sells pure white meat, as they call it in this country. And I go in and I buy. I come to my host and I present him. Where'd you get this? I don't remember. Well, it makes a big difference. Why? Well, one of the stores sells non-kosher meat. Oh, my God, I'll never figure out where I bought it. Then the halach is that there's 10 million kosher stores and 1 non-kosher store, that it's considered to be half and half. It's not statistically defined. Because we're not looking at where this meat came from. We're looking at where you went. And where you went was wherever you went. It was kavua. If you found the same piece of meat, because it's defined by what it is you're coming to discover. If you're discovering where you were, well, where you were is not a statistic. If you just want to find out where did this come from, that's a statistic. But where you were is defined by when the suffix is mitorer. Your suffix, if I ask you, so is this meat kosher? Where'd you get it? The question of where you got it is not a statistic. So therefore, and what's the marker of that, strangely enough? This pasuk, va'aravlo. Since it's telling you that there is some magical case in which the arevut is important, and that's got to be a case in which the normally defined by rov doesn't kick in, it's got to be talking about a case where people were there. Now, it makes absolutely no difference to you where the kuti comes from. It only makes a difference to you what he is. Is he a kosher butcher shop, so to speak, or is he not, right? Well, then he's kavua. So whatever it is that you threw it at is whatever it is. Therefore, it's not a statistic. And memela, the dinim of rov, don't apply to it. It's kemechza al mechza dami, and this becomes now the derivation for all overshas.
It's not logical.
What do you mean the question is logical?
The
distinction is logical. The fact that I won't rely on statistics is not necessarily logical, but once I'm told it, I can certainly distinguish between the two cases.
Where did Mechta Mechta come from?
Mechta Mechta comes from Occam's razor. Because what are you going to say?
Either one or the other?
No. Because you can't prove to me that it's more than Mechta Mechta. I mean, that's the most that we can see. Being as given mechzel mechzel, the halacha would have been suffered nefashot lakel, so then that's what it's established. You can't say it's established more than that. How do you know? Then it would be rov. Then, in fact, it would teach me that kol kavua karov then.
How do we know that it switches from here where the razor teaches us not to be mechayatim, into a case where we don't have nefashos, but we would say rov?
We start off with our given statistics, right. Rules.
Okay.
So you asked, what if the rules of statistics would be that mechza al mechza is chayev, and there would be no v'yitzilu
ha'edah?
Well,
if it's not kavua, we can use statistics.
Right. If it's not kavua, the din is that it's mechza al mechza.
Right.
It's correct. It's pater. Okay. Now we're going to take a rule that seems to violate statistics. It tells me it's pater. Now there's two cases in which it's pater. Either rov or mechza mechza. The rov case it's pater because it's been so defined. The mechza mechza is pater because of itziloed and it's a suffix. Can you prove to me that when the Torah says va'aravlo that it means to jump all the way up to the case of that it's rov? No. So Occam's razor forces you down to say mechza mechza. But in Achinami, there's nothing in the pasuk specifically that forces you to conclude it's mechza mechza. But that's what you're stuck with. This is not bad for people that are taking a rest during Daf Yomi.
How do you plug in?
It wouldn't matter. Wherever the statistics would apply, if you're saying yes, I'm throwing it random. And that's what we're talking about. We throw it at random. If you're shooting at somebody, then we're back to the question of we're looking for a specific case that isn't where I've aimed for one person and killed another person. Because that's in the Rabban, that certainly is not what the Torah means to apply it to, right?
Okay. So if I threw it out a window and I didn't know who was there,
right. It would be Marcel Nasser.
Even though there's a Rov Yisrael. And I don't know, there's a guy outside the window.
Right.
There might be only Jews outside
right.
the window.
Yeah. Right. Because again, it's not your intent here. It's not like Barnea was saying, we let it go by because it was cute. But it's not like Barnea was saying, it's a thought that counts. Well, it was very unhelpful, and I couldn't make up my mind until people laughed. And it's okay. If you laugh, all right. But it's obviously not the thought that counts. Otherwise, it would be chayiv in the case where you were miskaven, laharog, the wrong person that thought. What thought?
That has to be the fine.
Okay, so then, but it's not. He's saying, I thought they were all Jews, and it turns out that one of them is a goy. So if it's the thought that counts, I should be chayiv.
Not my intent.
I know it's not your intent, but it's the thought that counts.
No, his question is the question of what the understanding was. He was saying
His question isn't the question of what the understanding was. You're confusing. That's the bottom line. You're cute but confusing. So, The niskaven larag ezev v'laharag ezev. Therefore, according to Rabbanan, it seems to be something that they take as for granted. Now, the truth is, there's a lot of strong indication about the chiyav of this guy in larag ezev. That's the famous case, and this is the whole story. There's two men fighting. A woman gets in the middle. She gets a blow on the uterus. V'yatsu yeladea. And then the Torah talks about im lo ya'ason. So then, v'datan bitzlilim. But im ya'ason, im ason yev, and v'datata nefesh tachat nefesh. So we've got two cases over. Now clearly, the woman got in the middle, and somebody was trying to smash into the person behind her. Instead, she got killed. That says over there, nefesh tachat nefesh, if a tragedy takes place. Now, how do we understand the case? I mean, was the person trying to kill the man? She got in the way and took the blow and died. That's what the pasuk is.
She or the uber?
No, im yatzon is she. Im lo yatzon is where she loses the v'yatsu yeladeha. But what happens to her? That's the question of the yatzon. We don't view the loss of the uberim as an yatzon. That's considered at this point to be nezik. By the way, I just want to thank you for asking, because your face reminded me. Yesterday you asked a question, and I was confused about the answer. I realized the reason I was confused was because your question is so good. The truth is that we do paskin, it's not a machlokas whether a shor shall have gerus chayev. We do paskin that a shor shall have gerus chayev. And therefore your question is, so why, in the case where the violin would be a trefa, why would he be potter? But Lamaisa, the Rambam, paskins both halachas. This is the machlokas in the Mishnah. Machlokas with the Chachamim. He paskins that a shor shel hefker is potter, despite it's chayev, despite the fact, as you were asking, that if the bialim would be a trefa, he would in fact be potter. That's okay. Where there's no bialim, we still have the halacha of Ashar Yisrael, Nein Achinami. We just don't have the relationship to the Gamba Lav Yimad. So, yeah, anyway, sorry for interrupting us. We forget. So, getting back here. The point, therefore, is clear according to Rabbanan. Bishlam the Rabbanan, the Amri, Nitkaven la roge zevaraget the chayav. So Rabbanan is saying, in a case where you murdered the wrong person, you're chayav. Okay, that's the whole story. V'chiyenatzu anashim, v'natkui shahara, v'yama rabbi alazar, v'mitzvot shv'mitah, katuv midaber. The Torah is talking about a case where a man was trying to murder another man. Not that we're fighting. They were fighting to the death. And it says, the Feirush, it's got to be that, because it says Yimasoniya Minatata Nefesh Tachat Nefesh, that we're gonna take this guy and execute him. So obviously there must have been an intent to kill, and it says he intended to kill not the woman. It says they were Vinatzon Hashim. So it seems to be absolutely clear in the Torah. I hit the wrong guy. As long as my intent was to murder, I'm chayev. How in fact does Rabbi Shimon learn that whole sugya? Well, Rabbi Shimon. What does he do with it? Says Rabbi Shimon, well, it's an old story. We've got lots of ayin tachat ayins and things like that. Nefesh tachat nefesh means you pay.
So this is Nezikin, it turns out.
He's talking about Mammon. Yes, he says it's talking about Mammon. In other words, the woman's value is paid to her heirs. So for murder, where there's no chiyuv of murder, there remains a chiyuv of nezikin, which is what Moshe was asking yesterday. I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago, about paying for what you've done. So you pay a civil penalty. Look at a Rebbe. Now that is according to Rebbe only. The Tanya Rebbe Omer Benatata Nefesh Tachat Nefesh Mamon. It means you pay for the loss of life. How do you know it doesn't mean it's kaven la roget zev raget zev is chayam? Because nemran etina lamata v'nemran etina lamalam, and it says v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh, but it also said before v'im lo yason v'natan, it's the same word v'natan, biflilim. Now biflilim always means in civil court, right? It's penalties for whatever damages you caused. Why would the Torah have used the same word so ironically? Vinatata, there's vinatata, take it from your wallet, or we take your soul. I mean, it's much more reasonable to say that what we're talking about is two different levels of assigning value. One, assigning the difference in value between a woman who is pregnant and is going to give her slave owner, her putative slave owner, these children, and now she's not pregnant and she won't. And the other, the actual loss of life, the entire value of, again, the putative slave. So, malalan mamon, afkan mamon. Omar Rava, well, hi, the tonid of Echizkia, mafkimin rebi, umafkimin rabbana. So far we have two explanations of the case of Vinakfui Shahara. One is, Mitzkaben la rogezev, aragezev, is Vinatata nevish tachat nafesh, you are chayev, said the rabbana. The other is, Vinatata nevish tachat nafesh, you pay the value. But there is a third approach. And the third approach is the Tana of Echizkia. And the Tana of Echizkia says this. We learn out from the fact that the Torah makes a rather odd comparison to Make Adam and Make Behema. As a matter of fact, there's another part of that strange comparison because it talks about being Make God, so to speak, as well, in the same context. Okay, so there's something about Haka'ah that the Torah is putting together. What is the element of the Haka'at Ha'adam and Haka'at Behema that are similar? It's to tell me, says the Tana of Echizkia, that just like when it comes to Haka'at Behema, we're talking about straightforward nizikin. So, ma makeh behima. Lo chilakta ba. Ben shogeg lemezid. Ben mitkaven lesheno mitkaven. Ben derech yirida le derech aliyah. Does it make any difference to you how it is you shot this animal? Adamu ad olam. Whether you had kavanah or not. Whether you meant to do it this way or not. Whether you're moving upwards or moving downwards, which is a component of the determination of whether someone would be chayav for gullus if he murders Bishkaga. When it comes to an animal, none of those are factors at all. So we just simply don't have room for such criterion. Okay? What is the non-chiluk? When we say we ignore such a criteria, what is the non-chiluk? That you're not going to be paltro moment, you're going to be machaibo moment, no matter what happens. So to a make adam is like a make behima, in the sense that you have one option, and one option only, and that is the death penalty. There is no such thing as payment for life. So the Tana of Echizkia holds that the Torah specifically is excluding the idea that you can sue for murder. You cannot sue for murder. Either we'll kill you, or if we can't kill you, we'll put you in prison, or if you're off on a technicality, you're off on a technicality. But the bottom line is, you cannot be sued. Life is not translatable into value at all. Reb Shemshon Raphael Hirsch makes a very big piece on this about the nature of what happens to a society that places values on life. Right? That's the meaning of the Tana of Echizkia. That if you end up being able to sue, then what you're really doing is you're defining a life value, which is nonsense.
It's got to be different values for different lives, depending on the person.
No, we kill you for killing an Evan. So, you kill a slave, you're killed. We don't have, we don't make any distinction, but a guy's not chayav a mitzvah, but an Evan is chayav a mitzvah.
Right.
In more than words, how about the Saudis who incited the Palestinians to kill the Jews? They can't be sued for money.
Insiders?
Sued for money?
Yeah, because the government has to pay now for the children and for the woman who are...
You're talking about moralistically? We're not suing them for the life. We're suing them for the grumma, right? Mm-hmm. Suing them for costs.
Okay.
That's fine. You sue for costs. I mean, we don't have in the Torah something called suing for costs unless they're real costs and not indirect costs.
So then how...
You can't sue for the cost that the Torah recognizes, which would include the medical costs. There's no medical costs, right?
Yeah, but
that type of thing. Okay, so you're talking about a different level of suit. We're not suing for the life. Right? We're suing for the pain of the children, for their families, and that's the type of thing that we sue for. The Torah doesn't have such a concept, because those are not values that we exist.
Have we disqualified Rabbi Shimon?
No.
We have.
We're just pointing out that the Tanya de Beis Hizkia clearly argues on this entire issue. Right, because they say, forget about whether there's no moment possible. Why is there no moment?
On the level of Nefeshot or on the level of Nizakim?
On the level of where there are Nefeshot, there are no Nizakim, is what the Tanya de Beis Hizkia is saying. Now, that's not to say you couldn't have Tashlumim at the same time to somebody else. And then you get into the question of Chayvei Misa Shogigin or Kamlei B'Rabbi Minei, but that's not the issue here.
But all these guys who throw stones in the air with the intent to kill the wrong guy in a Pator, he's arguing against that.
No, he's just saying don't attempt to talk about the question of whether the Torah means to tell me anything about Tashlumen. Tashlumen don't exist. That's all he's saying. The Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan say over here? That it's a miskaven l'hargazev, hargazev is chayev. Okay, but but as far as the question is concerned about whether I would pay in a case where I'm potzer, they're ready to pay where you're potzer. Right? But according to the Tanya de Chizkia, they're saying there's not a chiyev of misa, because it makes no difference whether there is a chiyev or not a chiyev. There would not be a chiyev of misa, and nonetheless there's no chiyev of tashlum. So I can agree with Rabbi Shimon, notice that if it's Kavan Hargazev, Hargazev is Potter, and nonetheless, I would be forced to say that there's no Tashlum in here.
So the guy goes scot-free.
He would go scot-free, exactly. Yeah.
I thought we used to...
It's not even like O.J. Simpson, we bring in...
Yes, a very good question that Oriel is asking. Do we not use the Tanya de Beis Hizkia all the time? Chayvei Misa Shogigin is one of the implications of the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. Tosis is very bothered by this. What do you mean? This is Matke Midei the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. Everybody agrees with the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. He brings proof after proof. There's no question about the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. And Tosis breaks up the implications of the Tanya de Beis Hizkia into several levels.
But this thing about not being able to pick off, like, kosher is learned from somewhere else, not from Tanya de Beis Hizkia.
And it's related to your, also very good, Tosis brings that up as well, the Latik Kofer, the Nefesh Rotzeach. Question is, where do we apply that concept? Is it straight out? And its most gross application would be that somebody's chayav mis and he buys his way out. But I mean, l'chor, we don't need a pasuk for that, Latik Kofer, the Nefesh Rotzeach. So, I mean, according to the Tanya de Beis Hizkia, there would be no case, because anyway, we know there's no chiyuv of tashlumin. All of these issues are excellent questions you're bringing up, right? But Tosfos goes through at great length to define the different elements in the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. Because he's not necessarily saying that there's no tashlumin in murder cases. Suppose there would be tashlumin on damages done at the time that a murder is taking place. Now, that seems to be a whole different issue. If what the Tanya de Beis Hizkia is saying in terms of our sugya is simply that you don't pay where you've murdered, it doesn't mean you don't pay for other associated nezikin at the time that you're murdering. That's a completely different element of the Tanya de Beis Hizkia. Okay, so those things need to be separated out, but it goes a little bit beyond our daf yomi time. So, therefore, the Tanya de Beis Hizkia says, there's no nafkei mina, maka adam lo tachalok bo, bein shogeg omezid, bein mitkaven l'sheino mitkaven, bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, l'chayvo mamon. Don't take any tzad of those cases. None of them are valid criteria. Ela l'potro mamon. It's all in terms of a p'tur. Now, let's just think for a moment what he meant by those words, she'eino mitkaven, because I mean, what's to prevent me from saying that the Tanya de Beis Hizkia holds that you would be chayev or potter? I mean, you say, it's mark of the Tanya. All the Tanya de Beis Hizkia says is, don't tell me that you pay. That's all. Ah, but can we look at the words? He said, don't distinguish between a mitkaven or an eno mitkaven. He just said, don't distinguish between a shogeg and a mezid. I mean, I always thought, a shogeg is a mitkaven, is an eno mitkaven, and a mezid is a mitkaven. What is he repeating himself for? Don't distinguish between shogeg and mezid and mitkaven. Eno mitkaven is only one explanation, as far as I see it. Elay mishein mitkaven klal. If the point is that he has no kavanah of what he's doing, that's the case of shogeg. I know shogeg ela pshita. The only case he could be talking about is lo tachalok bein she'eno mitkaven, meaning bein she'eno mitkaven lezeh ela mitkaven lezeh. And he's saying, don't you dare say that that would mean to be Mechaivo Mama, Elitz Lepotro Mama. He's going to be puzzled. So now, therefore, and therefore what? Therefore, he's going to be killed? No. Because Ibark Talahu, if indeed he was chayav to be killed, my Yitzchak Lemithrei Mama, why do I need the p'tur from this pasuk to tell me that you're potter from Mama, that's the normal halacha of Kamlai B'Rabbi Minei that is not based on the son of the Bechizkiya. So therefore, it's got to be telling me, El Alav Shmamina, Lav Bak Talahu, the Lav Bar Mamonahu, that in he would be chayav neither. You can't be chayav him Mama, and you can't be chayav him Misa.
Now, wouldn't you learn that from Vimayasa?
Learn what?
If we're saying the Bechizkiya is not learning.
Come to Rabbi Meir.
The only other place
to
learn is from here.
No, come to Rabbi Meir. We don't learn from here. Where you're not chayav that you would be putter on it. That's Shlomei Mom, and we would learn from here. Come to Rabbi Meir. That's that we learn out from the other person. He says, Rishakas. Rishakas. That's a different limud. That's exactly the point that one's making. You can't be coming to tell me that there's a dinner come to Rabbi Meir. That's a given. So he must be coming to tell me that there's a p'tur even though it doesn't involve an actual chi of Misa. But it's an act that would have been a chi of Misa under other circumstances. You got off on a technicality, the technicality being your covenant was to kill somebody else or whatever. In that case, you're neither a bar ketula, nor, technically speaking, a typical chi of Misa shogi, and it's even less. There's never a way that you'd be machayev at the same time moment. Is what the Tzadon HaVechizkiya is saying. Yeah, it runs very much against the grain of our vision of
justice.
Well, at least not of justice, but of getting money out of the justice.
But no, I'm just trying to
tell you. These guys tell me they're going to look at it, you know.
Well,
this doesn't fit in with either.
He had no covenant to kill the one
person, he wanted to kill the other one.
Yeah, but that part of Rebbe Shimon. It's two parts of Rebbe Shimon. How Rebbe Shimon learns in Lo Yasan.
So according to this, what does he do?
Like we do in other cases.
Right, like we do in other cases. In other words, we say, what else do you mean? Could Shogeg have met, when you say Ben Shogeg is amazing, could you have met Omer Mitzvah?
It wouldn't have bothered him.
He was doing
it. Says the
sorry. The headache of
Mish, man. You okay if we talk to us? You want to ask me?
No.
Please.
Just the headache of Mish, man.
Roseach shenit arev va'acherim kulan peturim. Now this is a strange Mishnah. A murderer gets mixed up with other people. So now we can't remember who he was. Huh? They all look the same. So I guess we could kill all of them. I guess, you know. No, says the Mishnah, in that case we don't kill all of them. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, why not? Let's kill them all out. Konsino tan lekipa. I mean, yeah, you can't give them the Misa that's in Bezdin, but certainly knowing that there's a murderer, and obviously this is crazy, and the Gemara is going to define the case. But, exactly. But what we would do is, we would put them all into the fabled kippah. And the original kippah was the kind in which you put people in, and all you fed them was oatmeal, and that was sure to blow up their intestines in no time at all. And we got rid of them, the way they do in all boarding schools. That's gruesome gruel. Yeah, so in that case we become Tzinatan Makipa. Kol chayave mitoch in arvu zebezeh. And if we have different people who are chayav different mitot, and now we can't identify who's who. So we've got some people chayav skila, some people chayav srefa. What do we do over there? Well, nidonim bekala, everybody goes down a level, and then we go to the lowest common denominator. So if you would have niskalim benisrafim, of course, that would be dependent on the machlokas we had between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. What's more chomer, skila or tzreifa? So Rabbi Shimon says, well, in that case, give them the lighter misa, which is skila. Shatzreifa kamura. Whereas the Chacham says, no, on the contrary, give them tzreifa, shatzkila kamura. Says Rabbi Shimon, how can you say that? Ilu lo haita tzreifa kamura. If tzreifa wouldn't be the worst, lo nitna la bat kohen shezinta. Why would the Torah say that a bat Yisrael who was in Ta was the skila, but this bat kohen, she gets tzreifa? Obviously tzreifa is worse.
Have we been here before?
Yes, we've been here before in the Gemara. Amru lo, ilu lo haita skila kamura. Lo nitna la megadev lo veda avodat kochavim. If skila wouldn't be worse, why would the Torah assign skila to the absolutely greatest sins that are called for the posht in yad bikar, so to speak? In a case where we confuse the people that are chayav hereg or chenek, here again we know the machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Amr b'sayif, because sayif is the kal, the chachamim Amrim b'chenek, because the chenek is the kal. Now when you say, says the Gemara, that a rotzeach is mixed with other people, is he mixed up with the rest of the daf yomi that he's in? Is that it? So my acherim, ilay ma acherim kisherim. If these people are the kind of people that go to daf yomi, then it's unlikely that they would also be murderers. So pshita that we're not cool on paturim. What do you think? We're going to shoot out all daf yomi. Vesu, and anyway, I mean, could Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that we punish the daf yomi instead of giving them bagel and lox, we should give them oatmeal? Lamer Rabbi Yehuda, consinotan la kippah. In such a case, we would put them in the kippah. Om Rabbi Avu Amar Shmuel, what it's talking about is a rotzeach shaloni gmar dino. We've already donned this guy. In the sense, we've come to our conclusion, and we were going to call him in, and we were going to say, okay, the court has found you guilty, and so on and so forth. And he runs into this group of people. Now, who is he? And we can't identify him. So what do we do then? That's what the case is over here. So he was nitarev berotzchim acherim shenigmar dinan askinan. They were already chayev, so this is death row here. Now, the Rabbanan say you still can't kill him because you need to be gomer a day. You can't just because you know the guy is chayev. There's due process. Due process is a b'chayev bezdin to say ploni atachayat. You can't do it because you can be only gomer adin in front of the guy. Well, wait a minute. Rabbanan savre ein gomrim dino shel adam ela b'fanav. Since the defendant has to be there in front of you, you cannot say ploni atachayav. Hilkach kulam peturim. Therefore, in this case, they're potter, because if you don't know who you're talking to, you're not talking to him.
Collective
befanav is not befanav. I need to be talking to him, not at him. Yeah, I mean, it's a rather loose comparison, but yes.
Right, then all the convicted murderers are also...
Scot-free.
Well, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. We'll take care of them.
Kill anybody, right?
Because we don't know who he is. But we can't say Ploni Atachayav. Which Ploni? You're talking to the wrong guy.
We know which one.
Well, we'll go to everyone.
Well,
right, but we're not talking to him still because we don't know that it's him. It's not a question of the person hearing. It's not the question of our saying. It's a question of our addressing, exactly.
Also, before the Nigmar Dinan, they're all going to be put dead. So when all dead, there's one guy left.
What do you mean?
All the others in Nigmar Dinan.
But we don't know who they are.
No, the rest of the group he's run into is Nigmar Dinan.
But we don't know which one is him and which one is the rest of the group.
What's going to happen to the group if he never run into it?
They would have been killed. Yeah.
So they're off that as well?
Well, how are we going to kill them if we don't know who they are?
So
at each point, we may be killing an innocent, so to speak, party.
So you're saying we're
guilty? That's right.
So why don't we just go to the minimum death sentence?
Because there is no death sentence. How can we kill one innocent person with other people? Hilka kulam p'turin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, many of these are murderers. What are you talking about, Rabbi Yehuda? Niftrinu lagamri namilo. I mean, you can't just, what are you going to do? Let him out on the street? Kima the road sfim ninu. Hilka konsino tan lakipa. Therefore, we get rid of them. All they're off on is a technicality. We don't let people out on the street on technicalities. We get rid of them. So, now, there seems to be a machlokus over here, because the Rambam's din of kuntzinot on the kippah, which is the same as Rashi's, as Mar says, the Farish elsewhere, that kuntzinot on the kippah is the old gruel attempt. So, that is not what is applied over here, says the Rambam, or at least that's the way they are from now, says Rambam. That the kuntzinot on the kippah in this case is protection of society. We don't let them out on the street. He's imprisoned. It means literally kuntzinot on the kippah, but not that we can actually carry out a chiyav misa on him. At least that's how the Achronim understand the Rama. Don't know whether it's mukhrach. So therefore, we are kuntzinot on the kippah. Rish Lakish amar, the adam de kuleyama lo plige de ptirin. If he mixed up with other people, of course he'd be potter. The case over here, he got mixed up with shores. Well, I guess that doesn't work. Huh? The case over here is that we're talking about a shore. Now, in the case of a shore, because remember, by an adam we have a special halacha, the tzivu aida. So the tzivu aida means we're going to look around to see what we can find as a way of getting him out of the chiyuv. Well, this is a great way of getting out of a chiyuv, isn't it? Because we could say, well, we don't know, so we're not going to kill him. The point is to find a way out, not to find a way in. But if you're talking about a case of a shor that gets up in mixed up in other shvarim, so we have a shor shelo nigmar dino, shnitarev v'shvarim acherim shnigmar dinan, that's the question. Do you have to address a shor? That's the issue. So, yeah. By a person, I understand, I have to address the person. But frankly, they all look the same to me, those shores, right? So do I need to address Mr. Shore, or can I just sort of say, Shvarim, somebody in there is higher. That's right. You know who you are. That's the important thing.
Maybe stakes. We don't call them.
So the stakes are hot. So, we're here.
Killer Shore of Rotsaya.
Yes, we're going to kill it. We're going to call the Killer Shore of Rotsaya, according to Ish
Lakish. And all of the other ones, because
of the subject, we don't know who he is. Right, according to the Rabbanon. Well, we have to finish what he says. So, there, the Rabbanon holds, look. That's part of the hekesh of the gambalam yumat to be tata balim kach bitata shor. Now that's telling me that I have to apply all of the criteria. If it would be the owner, I wouldn't be able to kill him in this fashion. So I can't kill the shor in this fashion because I can't address him. Ein domim dino shel shor ela b'fanav. You got to have that shor up there in the defendant's box and so on. He's got to be able to respond to the accusations against him. And he'll kach kulam p'turim. Therefore, they're all going to be potter. Rabbi Yudasava, Konsinotan la kippah, and the poor shore never knew what hit him.
Die the
All right, we'll take care of the Rosh Hashanah later.
All of them.